Welcome to Pursuing True North's Truth of the Week series. I'm Catherine King.
And I'm Jenny Scioto. This week's Truth of the Week is Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ.
This is one of those verses that sometimes I think gets misinterpreted in the Christian community, regardless of what denomination. There's something called the prosperity gospel out there. And essentially, that's telling everybody, if you believe in Jesus, if you get saved, your life is going to be just abundantly overflowing with every blessing under the sun.
And coming up roses.
Yes. And if it's not looking like that, then you know what? You're probably doing something wrong. Can even go back to Job's friends. We're talking about, had prosperity, now you don't. That was basically old school prosperity gospel right there. Yeah. What you doing wrong, Job? You must be doing something wrong with God if all your stuff is going away. Yeah. So
if things aren't coming up, if things aren't going your way, then you're doing something wrong. And that's not what this verse means at all.
That's right. And Jesus was very clear. You can go look at John 16:33, that in this world we're going to have trouble, but we're to take heart because he's already overcome it. So trouble's out there, and Paul was no stranger to trouble.
No. Trouble, arrested, jail.
Shipwrecked.
Yeah.
Poor dude. He went through it, man. But he wrote this to the Christians in Philippians and Philippi, and they were actually a smaller group, a small church, one of the early ones, and they had found out about Paul's need when he was in prison, and they're actually a very generous group. Commentary and the background on the people there, they said they weren't the richest of congregations, if you will. They were kind of a lower middle class group. And so they didn't have a huge abundance to just pull from to be like, oh, here, we have all this extra. Here you go. There was probably some sacrifice on their part to make sure Paul had what he needed and they could help him.
Yeah. And what did they do with what they had? They sent him food, right? To jail?
I believe it was food. And I'm sure it could have been, you know, back then they had different ointments and all kinds of different things. I'm not entirely sure exactly what they sent him, but they knew he was in need and they sent him what they had. But he refers to it, Paul refers to it in verse 18 as their gift being like a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice. He was using kind of Old Testament imagery here, because back then the priests would bring into the tabernacle and into the presence of God, they would bring sacrifices and sweet smelling aromas and gifts to God. And he was comparing the gift from the Philippians to him as that same kind of gifting to God. And because what Paul was doing is trying to spread the gospel and do God's work. And by giving Paul a gift, they were giving God a gift.
Yeah, exactly. Ever find that when you give, you actually feel good? Feel better about yourself?
It feels great.
Yeah, like I love that giving is almost like that instant high. It's way better than getting. I prefer to like give, especially Christmas time, stuff like that. I go a little crazy getting things, and I far more enjoy that than, and I feel like God wired us that way on purpose so that we wouldn't be as selfish as our,
be so self-absorbed. Yeah.
Our natural tendencies tend to be.
I do. The times that you find yourself doing more sacrificial giving too, it fills you up on the inside in a way that a lot of times you weren't even really expecting. So I think that was what was happening here. And again, going back to the whole, this isn't prosperity gospel. If you break down the verse a little bit more, it does not say, my God will supply every want of yours, every excess thing that you'd ever want. It says,
or great mansions. Like, there's no promise of, like,
riches and
being rich. Now, there's no problem with having money, or if you're very well off, there's no problem with that. We're not saying that either. But that's just not exactly what this is talking about. This is talking about a need, and God takes care of our needs according to his riches and in the glory of Jesus Christ.
So what kind of riches do we have in Jesus Christ? We have peace. We have hope. We have strength that isn't ours when we ask God for it. Those are all...
We have joy.
Yeah, those are the fruits of the Spirit and everything. Those are the needs that we have, because if your spiritual needs are met, it really doesn't... The circumstances around you can be really hard and really awful, or they can be really great, but if your soul is anchored, if your peace is anchored in the needs you have for that in Jesus Christ, then it doesn't matter what's going on around you. And that's basically what Paul, I think, was saying here, is that your close walk with God, your obedience to care for and give and to bless those around you, God's going to take care of whatever need you have when you come to him. I also like the beginning of this verse where it says, and my God. So Paul makes it really personal. He says, my. Like, that's a very personal expression of his relationship with God. It's not just, oh, the God up there that's so far away, or that the high deity that is God will take care of you. He takes it even to a sweeter level of, this is my God. I know my God. I know how my God provides for me. I know my God will do this for you too. And I think that's really sweet. Do you ever catch yourself referring to God as yours?
Oh, yeah. Or my father. Mm-hmm. Actually, one of my favorite names for God ever since a kid is Abba.
I love it too.
That's probably my, especially when I'm like doing like my own prayer by myself, you know what I mean? Like talking to God by myself. Like, I love, yeah.
It's funny because in different situations, at least for praying, there's certain times I'll address Abba, like, Dad, please. Mm-hmm. And then there's other times I'm like, I know that Jesus is interceding for me on something and I don't know how to pray for it. And I'm just like, I know he's up there doing it for me. And I'm like, yes. Hey, please, Jesus, please. I don't know how to say this. I don't know how to express this is what I want. And then there's other times where I'll be in physical pain and I need help right now to physically function through the rest of my afternoon. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, please, please help me. And knowing that that's the presence with me and addressing, I mean, when you address God, you're addressing God and they hear you. I'm not saying that, but I guess what I'm talking about right now, at least for me on a personal level, how I look at God or how I pray personally with who he is. I loved that part where
Paul got excited. Makes sense. And I love how excited Paul just amazes me in many levels. But I love how excited he is here too, because he's excited for the Philippi. Did I say that right?
Philippi. We may have said the Philippians and Philippi and all that wonkadoos through this whole thing, because I think I already did. So y'all excuse that for totally correct on saying their name.
I don't know how to pronounce these.
No, we're all good.
I know in like when a... It ends with an I.
Yeah, so probably Philippi.
Philippi. Philippi. I don't know. Anyway. But I love how he's excited for them. The fact that they sacrificially gave to him because they knew that he needed, he was in need. And so, and he was excited not for receiving the need, though I'm sure on some level he was, but also in the fact that of what that does for the kingdom. And I, it just shows how unselfish, I guess, Paul was in his walk, and that he just was going, he likes to go that step above, or he was that step above, where everything he did was for the good and the glory of the kingdom of God and to further the kingdom of God. And we really need to learn that lesson from him too, that so he's happy for them doing something good, and somebody else doing something good doesn't mean what you're doing is not good.
Paul was excited because he saw the heart of the people of Philippi, and he saw that they weren't just giving a material thing. They knew that what they were doing was expanding the kingdom. And to know that the people that you're trying to develop in their walk with God are starting to get it, they're starting to understand what it is they're doing and how it is they're giving and where that's coming from. He knows that they're going to be blessed. He knows that that walk is going to provide fruit and fulfillment in their own personal walks with God. And yeah, he was excited about it. I remember a VeggieTales. I don't even know what the name of it was, but I've seen all of them a million times because one of my kids just loves VeggieTales. And there, but I think the story was based on something true. There was an orphanage that the leaders of it had, they didn't ask people for anything to help the orphanage, but the people in the community would just bring things to them as needed. And they showed the kids, they would pray. They wouldn't have dinner that night or food for the next day. And they're like, hey, let's pray about it. We know God's going to come through on this. And they prayed over it. And sure enough, the next morning in walks the baker, was like, I was up all night baking bread because God woke me up and told me to bring you food. Nice. And they had never actually asked for it. And then the milk person showed up and was like, hey, I felt like I was supposed to, you know, God led me to bring this milk to you. So anytime there's an opportunity to, if there's that little voice inside you that says, hey, go do this, or...
Yeah, you need to listen to it, because God might be trying to work through you to further the kingdom and to provide for somebody else's need.
If you provide anything for anyone, any kind of need, you are showing the love of Jesus. You are showing the love of God. It doesn't matter if they're saved, if they're not saved, if they asked for it, if they didn't. Being the hands and feet of Jesus is loving and blessing others, and definitely listening to the Spirit. And that's what this group of people did. Paul was stoked. He got helped, and the kingdom got furthered by what he was doing. And yeah, he was convinced God's going to supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
So the challenge is, are you struggling in a particular area in your life and need an abundance of spiritual blessing that's found in Jesus? Ask him for what you need in your hard circumstance and thank him for providing for it before you see it. Then wait and watch.
So glad you joined us today. Hit subscribe so you don't miss a thing and catch all our new happenings at pursuingtruenorth.com.
Don't forget to like and share us. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next week.